Welcome to the show.
This guy got a mistletoe belt on.
Gosh, that is bad.
The whole plane smells like weed.
Those were the days.
It's a joke, you idiot.
Looked in the mirror, I'm like,
good old innocent fun. Welcome back, everybody, to Troublemakers, the podcast where each week we bring on a guest and they tell crazy stories about their lives. We're coming to you live from a beautifully cold day in Astoria, Queens. Dude, it's freezing in here.
I'm
cold in this room right now. I got to turn the heat on.
Probably see how hard my titties are.
Dude, I can see them through the t-shirt and the sweatshirt. Someone said that to me the other day. They go, nipples are hard. And I go, I'm wearing a sweatshirt, dude. What are you doing?
Yeah.
Well, with me as always is my fabulous co-host, my number two, the man with the plan and a pen in his hand. Ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Ray Zawadny.
Oh, thank you so much for that wonderful introduction, Dylan. And I want to thank everybody that has been checking out the podcast on YouTube, watching those full video episodes, checking out all of our shorts, all the reels on Instagram, all that sort of troublemakers content, but also our audio listeners. If you're out there listening to us, we appreciate you as well. And you can do us a huge favor. That is leave us a rating and review on those podcast streaming apps. If you go out there, leave us a 5-star rating. That is what we want. 5 stars, nothing less. If you know what, just leave us 4. I don't care. Leave us 3. Nothing fucking matters. Fucking leave us 3. The amount of stars that are on the stupid ass Steelers helmet. Because they're losers, and I'm done watching football. I'm probably done watching TV in general. Anywho, we have a very special guest on the podcast today, a fellow Pittsburgher, my good pal, Colin Chamberlain.
What?
Just your good pal, dude?
Yep, my good pal and Dylan's acquaintance, Colin Chamberlain.
What a way to start the show. Just great energy.
Dude, Ray came in. I could tell when he walked in the door that he was going to be down, that he was going to be depressing. Yeah.
Do you know what I said a couple of years ago? Is I was like, you know what? I'm not going to be that guy anymore that lets like sports affect him and his mood.
Really?
I'm not.
Turns out
I still am.
Turns out you were wrong. You are still that guy. Ray is the kind of guy.
Oh, wow.
Well, like I feel like I can, I have enough hard data, as they would say, over years.
This is why I love having you on,
Colin.
Yeah, you
got hard data.
This is Ray, why I really enjoy having you on the podcast.
Ray is 100% the kind of guy where if he feels like doing something, if he feels like it, you will have, I mean, it will be almost annoying to the level that he does it. Like, it will be total commitment. If you go, Ray, we're going to this family dinner thing. I mean, I've been in the situation where it's been awkward. I go, you got to break the ice. He comes in, carries the whole thing. I mean, truly, we play on a flag football team. He takes it very seriously.
Oh, and, I've heard.
You know,
we've all heard maybe about seriously. How seriously he takes
but
it.
But when Ray is it just the slightest bit not in the mood, and it could be for a number of reasons. He's tired. He's hungry. He's tired and hungry. He's just sometimes he could not. He could have a full night's sleep. He would have just eaten, and he goes like, I just don't like the lighting. Like, it'll be something.
Yeah.
Right? Something, and it'll say, let's say it takes him from 100% to, like, 97%.
Uh-huh.
And you'll go, well, you're still at 97. That 3%.
It makes all the difference.
It makes all the, so I will say, when you get him and he wants to be there, he's the best.
Yeah.
Anything else, he will drag the operation to the bottom of the ocean. And watch everybody drown next to him.
Yeah, I've seen it.
But it's
what
great to be.
Am I not fucking here?
But it's great to be here.
Was this an intervention?
No, I'm sorry.
Hey,
I was trying to.
Guys, come on
I'm
in.
Sorry. Basically,
come on
what
in.
You're saying is that I do everything fucking full ass. I do nothing half ass. I do everything 100%. And every once in a while, I get a little bit sad. Okay, I shrink up into a little shell every once in a while. That never happens to you.
When you shrink up, do you feel like you turn off to other people? Like, you isolate?
I don't know.
Because sometimes, because what I think would be true to say is that you are somebody that gets joy from being around others and you know, sort of living off of their energy. And your instinct when you get sad is to isolate and to quiet down. But it's the opposite direction.
Well, because I'm an introvert.
Right. But what I'm saying is, you know, your mind is saying close up shop, don't talk, don't be fun, don't have fun. But really what your body actually needs is to more of it. Your body needs you to be more expressive, to be more around others, because you get so much joy from other people.
Have you ever gotten into trouble? Have you ever made trouble?
Not
I
one.
Mean, well, I don't know why you always try to come here and analyze me. That's the you know what Colin will do? Anytime Colin has to do something, you know what he'll do? He'll complain the entire fucking time. Oh, that's what Colin likes to do.
That is true.
You could be sucking Colin's dick and he's complaining about something.
To be honest, the only time that I see Colin in a good mood, the only time I see Colin in a truly good mood is when he's analyzing you and making fun of you, right?
I'm not making fun.
That's
You're trying to hurt my feelings.
I'm not trying to hurt your feelings. I'm having an open dialogue. I ever see you. I'm having an open conversation with two of my friends.
No, you know what?
Two people that are that also care for you.
That is the happiest he is.
Yeah.
He is the happiest when he's high horsing.
What? Yeah, exactly.
When
dude.
He's standing on top of the high
horse.
And
he gets to bring people down. Dude,
yeah, I know what he's doing.
I know.
What's the opposite of a therapist? That's what Colin is.
A cardiologist.
Yeah.
Because a therapist is for your feeling, is for your spiritual heart, and a cardiologist is for your physical heart. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I think. Do you think that you're happiest when you are complaining?
I think I have said this to my therapist that I think if I had nothing to complain about, I would be miserable.
Dude, I'm gonna bring. We don't have to say, but. When you threw that Halloween party, I think the happiest you were was bitching about cleaning up the next day to us.
No, I cleaned up that night.
I know, but the next day when you got to complain to us.
Oh, right, because how many dishes I had to do.
when you got to complain about how late you had to stay up cleaning, that was the happiest. You didn't even have fun at the party. You had fun the next day.
I would
complaining about the party.
I would someone agree where like I do because I'm not well, obviously.
Yeah.
But like I do things. I put myself in a predicament where like I go, I'm having a Halloween party. But then it's not like, you know, like it's not just like I'm going to order a couple pizzas and come in costumes. It's like I want to do a Halloween party where like I work for 3 days.
Yeah.
And then and I don't enjoy. I enjoy the busyness of it, but when it's there, I complain and I'm miserable. And it's only after do I go like when people, because you know, I want what you two want, which is someone to come over and be like, this is a great party, which they would probably say if I just ordered 6 pizzas and got a case of White Claws.
Yeah.
But I am insane.
Yeah.
That's the end of my statement.
That's good. That's all we needed.
Yeah, I'm a lunatic. Yeah, so instead of like that, it's like I'm going to make bat cookies and I'm going to make guacamole and a skull. It's like a whole thing.
It was a good party.
It was a great party.
It was a great party.
But it could have been a really, it could have been just, it could have been slightly, it could have been like you, 3% less and still like operated. You know what I mean?
Yeah, man, I would have been fine if I could put on a costume and just have like a slice.
Yeah, of course. Right. I mean, that's what I'm saying.
Now, but it was appreciated.
Right.
You don't think it was appreciated?
No, it was appreciated.
Okay. Yeah, it was.
But
a great
it's
time.
Fleeting.
I had a good time.
These feelings are fleeting. That's the problem. That's why we keep going.
Fleeting.
We keep having the parties and we keep doing the things and we go, I'm going to buy more gifts this year for Christmas because it's fleeting. Because the joy that you get from giving that thing is fleeting.
Yeah.
And you have to get more of it.
Well, this is probably going to be the last episode of Troublemakers.
God damn.
I like the action figures.
Well, you
those
want,
from Ray.
You bought me those.
I know, for Christmas.
Colin bought me those for Christmas.
He liked them so much, he gave them to me.
Would you like to hear something? This is crazy. Speaking of troublemakers, all three of us live in the Astoria area of New York City, and it has officially been tainted by criminals.
Really?
Somebody stole one of my hubcaps.
What?
One of my hubcaps got stolen.
Are you serious?
Now, here's the fucking problem with stealing one of my hubcaps is that I can replace it fairly cheap, right?
Yeah.
It's not that expensive, but stealing one hubcap is the biggest fucking pain in the ass that you could possibly do. Steal all four.
Right.
Do they not sell one?
I think I would have to find some. I'm going to have to like look on like eBay or Craigslist or something like that to get just one, because normally you got to buy them in a set.
Yeah.
Or I got to buy them directly off of Toyota.
Oh, that's tough.
Yeah, you'd have to buy them from like a dealer, probably. dealership.
Yeah. He stole just one. So then I turn into, you would have loved it. You would have been in your fucking element if somebody stole your hubcap this morning, because I was out there. There's an old dude plowing snow, right? And I go, man, did you see this shit? Somebody stole one of my hubcaps. He goes, oh. And you know, he's been waiting all fucking
week
for somebody to bring something up. He's like, how about this shit? You know, these motherfuckers got no respect. They got no values. Just 3 months ago, I just got a new car and my muffler was loose. I take it to the dealership. They say, somebody stole the clamp on your muffler. Who the fuck steals a clamp on a muffler? And I was like, neighborhood's going to shit.
Wow. Well, that is a fear of mine, parking my car outside all the time, is like, because I've seen videos on TikTok and stuff and Instagram of people just in New York pulling up to a house, like going under and like stealing parts of a car and then and then bouncing. Yeah.
I had an experience the other day at one of our favorite haunts, Rockies, where I do like Astoria because there are so many old people here. You know, and you know when you get to talk to old people and for some reason when they're at the bar, they just, they let it fly.
Yeah, of
you
course. Know? Oh, yeah.
I walked in, I had one drink, you know, before I went home, and I'm sitting down next to this old man, and we're watching the game, and a commercial comes on with this dad who is like, you know, what you see on TV. And he's complaining about the phone bill. Mm-hmm. And he's like, oh, this phone bill. And his wife and his kids are calming him down. He's like, oh, this is great. Okay. And this guy leans over to me and he goes, everyone on TV, they just look like faggots now.
Oh, my God.
And I go, what? And he goes, yeah, I served in the war and now I got to watch this shit. And I was like, I gotta go, dude.
It was a husband and wife and a kid. Yeah,
he's like, dude, you're watching.
He goes, this
Sunday Night Football.
He goes, this whole world's going to shit. I was like, Jesus, yeah,
Christ. That's a pretty.
Guy lives in a dark place.
Yeah, there's a lot
24/7.
There's a lot of that in that bar.
24/7.
He fought in Vietnam, and now he wants to share his opinions.
Was that even a war?
With me, wearing a pink sweatshirt.
It was a conflict.
It was war, I think, right?
I have trouble, knowing about wars besides one and two.
I don't even know about one. I just know about two.
I know about both.
Like, the sequel was better than the original. It's one of those
That's
rarities.
One of those situations.
Really was.
Yeah.
It was always better to learn about two.
It's like a Terminator 2.
That and Shrek.
Yeah, Shrek.
Lord of the Rings 2. Better than
that's
the
more of a, yeah, but they're all connected. It's a little different, Dylan.
Well, one and two were actually connected.
But I want my hubcap back, and I don't know how to, that's not something I could file a grievance with.
No. There's you could call the police, they go, great.
It's perfect crime.
Well, I mean, stealing anything and getting away is the perfect crime.
You've just described
crime.
I can't turn it into insurance. If they would have stolen one of my doors.
You could turn it into insurance and say someone stole a hubcap, and they would say, okay, but your deductible's
$500. Yeah, the hubcap is $40.
Yeah, right. So we can't help you. Yeah, right.
They shouldn't make hubcaps so goddamn easy to steal. They should be heavy. They should be 600 pounds.
I guess, what is the purpose of a hubcap?
They look pretty.
Yeah, see, I don't care then. Yeah. I almost want to take mine off.
You should.
No,
I might just take them off.
It looks
so
bad.
Put them in your trunk.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know what looks...
I should put them in my trunk when I park and when I get in the car.
Yeah,
put my hubcaps on real quick.
You know what looks worse than no hubcaps?
Three. Yeah, of course. Yeah. Well, you remember when I got a flat in your car and they had to put a new rim in that didn't match the other three rims.
Do I remember?
Yeah.
Yeah, I remember. Okay. I looked like trash.
He's holding on to that one.
Well, I mean, I paid for it. I mean, it's not like I paid a lot of money to fix it. No, I was distraught.
Glad. Thank you so much. That was nice.
Can I say that is a classic Colin gaslighting thing right there, where he goes, I paid for it, dude. I replaced it because of what I did. It's not my fault that it's not as good as what it was.
I could only do what I could.
Exactly.
I did the best that I could.
That is classic gaslighting Colin.
That's ridiculous.
You know what we used
to
do?
You sound crazy.
Yeah.
You sound like a crazy person. I think you should not be allowed to talk on any forms of media because you sound nuts. Now you sound like the person that's gaslit. I feel gaslit.
I think that's how gaslighting. I think you're gaslighting, telling us we're gaslighting.
No, yeah. I don't think that's how it works. You guys don't even probably know what gaslighting means, do you?
Yeah, it's when you're like...
oh, dude, don't even worry about it. You don't know what
like,
it means.
You know, like nah. men do it. It's mostly men. Yeah. Toxic.
Yeah.
When you're toxic.
Well, most people describe it as very toxic.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Can you imagine what it's like to be in a relationship with Colin? Just gaslighting all day.
Yeah, I've been in one with him for fucking 15 years or however long it's been. It's been a nightmare.
Dude, can you tell? We told this once before. You told it on the pod. Can you tell the story about when you were looking for apartments?
Why do you always like hearing this story?
It's so good.
I don't
dude.
Remember this.
I tried to tell it the other day when you were looking for apartments in Chicago.
And I had to pick Ray up.
And you had to pick Ray up?
Yeah, I could tell this story. So this is
it's one of my favorite stories about Ray because it perfectly describes both of you.
And I think it describes what I described earlier of the night before, you know, before we moved to New York, we really were dead set on moving to Chicago. And, you know, Ray had a friend, his friend Nate, who you know, I ended up becoming friends with. And it was great. Like, we would go out there, we'd visit. And we loved it. And we were really set on going. And it was like one of the last, it might have been the last time actually we went. Because I remember it being warm. And we decided not to move to Chicago. It was like in the summer. So we drove, the night before we had a show at the Improv. And as the flip side of Ray is, when he's all in, he's all in. So we did the show. The show's great. We're having a great time. He's making sure everybody's having a great time around him. Uh-huh. He's keeping perfect the life host of the party going. And I go, I get ready to leave and I go, hey, do you, because he was supposed to sleep at my house.
Yeah.
That's what was supposed to happen. He was supposed to sleep at my house that night. And we were going to get up early and he was going to leave his car, vice versa. And we would drive from my dad's. Mm-hmm. And so I go, hey, are you going to come over? He goes, No. He goes, but don't worry, dude. I'll be there. He's like, just tell me when. I go, like, we got to leave by like 8 a.m. He's like, I'll be there at 7:30. Something like that. You know, where he's like a salesman. He goes, you're like, okay, you know, I can only do 16. He goes, I'll do you for 14. You know what I mean? And like, dude, this is great.
Makes you feel better.
Right. He makes you feel good for the moment. Right. Yeah. He makes you feel good in the moment.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Like anything that's addictive. Yeah. So he makes you feel, he reassures me.
Uh-huh.
So,
are you calling me a drug?
I don't know what I'm calling you. Okay. You can come to your own conclusions there. So this thing that's highly addictive and can cause you a lot of problems.
But
also a joy. So joy. I leave, get up the next morning. I like set my alarm, didn't hear from Ray, didn't get a text. And it was still early, so I called him, didn't hear an answer. You know, he didn't answer. And then I texted him, didn't get an answer. Like 7:30 rolls around, not there. Call him, no answer. Text him, no answer. Mm-hmm. 8 o'clock rolls around, nothing. 8:30, nothing. 9 o'clock, nothing. So then I go, I guess I have to drive. And we live about 40 minutes away from each other at the time. And I guess I go.
See how patient I'm being right now?
But there's facts.
I want the second half from Ray, but I want you to finish yours.
Oh, you're gonna get Taylor's version.
I drive to Ray's home, because I'm like, because as his friend, I go, well, maybe like he got stuck at the club or something. I don't know. Mm-hmm. So I drive there. I'm like, let me see if his like car is even around here. I see his car is like on his street. So I'm like, okay, he must be home. I go and knock on his door. No answer.
Sounds like I drove drunk.
I think so. That doesn't sound like you. So I knock on his door. No answer. I go to the front door. No answer. I'm like yelling. I'm like, Ray. I don't know what to do. So I leave to go get gas. I call him like a million. I mean, I called him like probably 100 times, if not more.
Mm-hmm.
Go get gas, come back. It's like well after 10, you know, and it's a hike to Chicago.
Yeah.
And
a couple hour drive.
No, it takes longer. Oh, actually, no, I should say you do get an hour back. But I don't think we were accounting for that.
You're basically saving time.
So,
and you have appointments, right?
We had to go look at apartments.
We
were trying to do spots, you know what I mean? Like you're trying to get to like Nate's apartment in time, you know, where we were staying.
Yeah.
I can't get a hold of him. I literally am standing in his yard throwing rocks. Like, I'm Romeo and Julietting the situation where I'm throwing rocks at his bedroom window, trying to wake him up. I can't wake him up. Finally, he calls me. I'm in his front yard. He's like, dude, what's up? I'm like, I'm at your front door. Hangs up, comes down, opens the door. He's like, oh, man, sorry. I fell asleep without charging my phone. And then he just proceeds to, like, throw gym shorts into a suitcase. He was like, I'll be ready in, like, a minute. Like, clearly not packed.
Problem solver.
Clearly not packed. We get in the car. We drive to Chicago. Most of the, I would say at least 50% of the drive, he slept. He slept in the passenger seat.
Now.
And
that
can I
is
say,
the story.
Can okay. I say, though, before
now
you say your piece.
Before I freak out.
Before you say your piece, Colin loves that, dude. Because in his mind, he got to complain.
But at
the
time,
entire
I don't.
Time.
At the time, I did.
You hated it.
He was I mad hated at me. It. He was mad. That's probably the maddest you've ever been at
That's
me.
Up there.
Now, but here.
Come okay. on, dude. Okay.
So here is the thing. So there is a couple facts that you left out.
Okay. I would.
You
like
were to... with me out late that night.
Yeah.
We went to an after hours club.
No, I didn't go. I left after Bar Louie.
That is not true.
Which the Owls?
This is it must be mixing up nights because the
oh,
night that this
oh,
was.
Oh, I know what you're talking about.
Was my
yeah?
My,
we went to the place down on 7th Street or whatever that was. Yes. Stanley Street. Yeah.
One of my best buddies has just went through his first big breakup. And
I am mixing up nights.
And there is.
I knew it, dude.
Okay.
But the next day holds true.
The next day holds true. I get it. But this describes our relationship to an absolute T.
Yeah, you're right.
Because the night before, we do a show. Show goes great. Colin has just gotten out of a relationship. Oh, he's finally getting over it. There is a girl there that I think is really into Colin. So I'm like, hey, man. Let's get you back on the horse, man. Instead of me trying to be a... My problem with the wingman in this scenario is that I was also getting obliterated drunk. So,
yes,
a couple people are going to this after-hours club, and I'm like, Colin, we gotta go. You're shoo-in. This is gonna be great. We get there, and we go into the bathroom together, me and Colin, and we're standing at urinals, and Colin is like, hey, man. Do you think, do you really think like she's into me or like, you know, whatever?
This actually makes the story better.
Yeah.
For you.
For both of us.
And then, and then I go, brother, it's a guarantee, man. I was like, she was into you and, you know, and very, very flirty. I was like, she's flirting with you all night. It's going to be great, dude. Let's do it. Wash our hands. We start walking out. She is on the dance floor making out with one of the other dudes that we came there with.
And I'm pretty sure the other dude was shirtless at the time.
So shirtless dancing.
Yeah.
And then I was like, ah, shit. You just want to leave. And then we did.
We went to Permane's.
Yeah, we went to Permane's.
Yeah.
And I'm pretty sure I had a drink at Permane's because I was on fire.
Yeah.
And then that is why I overslept because we were out late and after hours club. Now, I still understand that I was wrong, but my intention, I'm just a man whose intentions are good.
Do not let me be misunderstood. That is your, you know what you're like? You're kind of like a dog that brings in like a dead squirrel where the dog is so excited to give it to you and the dog's intentions are pure.
Yeah.
But then you have a dead squirrel in your apartment and you go, what am I going to do with this? And you want to get mad at the dog. But
and you get mad at the dog.
But he's so fucking cute.
But the dog doesn't know it's a dog.
Uh-huh.
The dog doesn't know not to bring the squirrel in because the dog's only goal is to please. And that's
and
what he's trying
so
to do.
So cute. And he is so loyal.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I mean, that I did forget that part of the story.
He would.
That's, you know what, though? Colin, that's why I've heard you both tell a story, and I wanted to get the hard, cold truth out for the world to hear.
So the truth is always somewhere in the middle.
And then the best part of it is that I'm pretty sure it was on this trip where we had, like, told our families we were moving to Chicago. And, like, saw many apartments, and we're, like, sitting in a bar and, like, looked at each other, and one of us finally just broke the ice and was like, I don't really want to move here. And the other guy was like, I don't want to move here either. Like, at, 3 o'clock, drinking, you know, because everything, you know, was, like, we were always drinking. And just came home and we're like, hey, you know those 6 months we went like spending money, like going to Chicago, like scouting apartments, getting to know like the comedy scene? All wasted. Yeah. We delayed like our move to New York because of it, because we had to like resave money and the whole thing. So that was fun.
Yeah, that was...
Forget the name. It was like the corner bar.
Bucktown. Yeah,
and we're Bucktown. Literally doing like heaters, yeah, like shots and beers, and sitting there. Oof. And then we were like, fuck it, I think we should go to New York instead.
Yeah, and we were like, we just came home and we were like, yeah, we're gonna move to New York. And everyone was like, what? Like, because everybody was like, I remember my family was calling like, did you find your apartment yet? Did you find, you know. We're like, nah, we didn't. I don't know. And then
my mom's turning my bedroom into a gym as I get home. I'm like,
hey, get the treadmill out of here,
Jamie. You know what's funny is that because of that, my dad was selling his house, like our childhood home. Mm-hmm. He was downsizing. My sister had already moved out into an apartment, so it was just me and my dad. I was like supposed to be gone, so my dad moved into a one bedroom apartment. And for like 3 months, I didn't have anywhere to stay. So I was like staying at like my friend Bill's house. I was staying on my dad's floor. Like I would just like, I would visit New York for a couple of days. Then I'd come home. Like it was crazy.
A way to live.
No.
Well, I was living with my mom. We were both living with our parents. And I was 30, moved back in with my mom to be able to save up to move to New York. Funny story about my mom. It's a perfect transition. So it just reminded me of. Mm. Steelers played yesterday or 3 days ago, whenever this episode comes out. Mm-hmm. And like during the Steeler game, like I don't really want any calls coming to my phone. I want to watch the game. I don't want to be bothered. Mm-hmm. Right. My mom calls me 3 minutes before the game, pick up the phone. This wasn't one that she forgot about. I answer and she's like, hey, and I'm thinking, I'm like, yeah, something better be wrong.
Right.
And then I'm like, hey, what's up? She's like, oh, are you going somewhere for the game? I was like, yeah, it starts in like 3 minutes. I'm at my buddy BJ. She's like, oh, okay. I just wanted to call you to tell you about a dream I had. I was like, all right, that's fine. She's like, yeah, I had a dream that I was with your dad and I was talking to him. And I don't know, he just seemed really at peace. And I was like, cool, mom. I was like, is there any fucking other time that we can have this conversation where I'm at a friend's house, I'm about to watch the Steeler game, and you're calling me first to tell me about a dream, which I'm like, oh, this is going to be useless, somebody telling me a dream. No, now it's about my dead dad.
Right.
And my mom, who's been divorced from him for like 25 years, having to reconciliation with it. And I just like hang up the phone, and BJ was like, what was it? Was something wrong? I was like, oh,
Oh no, dude. I don't know if
what are we plus 10?
I don't know if this is better or worse, but my parents are also separated and divorced, and they're both alive, and my mother will
be nice.
I knew that was coming. My mother will call, and at least you don't have to tell your dad, cuz my mother will call and she'll be like, "Hey, I don't know. I didn't want to bother him, but if you talk to your dad today, can you just tell him to like please be careful around water?" And I'll go, "What?" And she'll go, I had a dream. It was awful. She'll go, "I don't even want to tell you, but it was awful. He drowned. He the bridge gave out and he drowned. Could you just please? I was gonna text him." But just if you wouldn't just tell him to be careful, like if he goes over a bridge, like if he gets a weird feeling, just to turn around, because it was, I'm telling you, it was so real. She was like, and then she'll be like, it's a long story. And then she'll tell me the long story. Yeah. She's like, I watched him. I watched the life leave his eyes and he drowned in my arm, you know, but if you could just bring it up, like if you talk to him, just let him know not to go over any bridges today.
So, I know Colin's parent. Actually, Colin's mom, friend of the pod.
Friend of the pod. The last time you were on, your mom famously called in with a great
story
great
about the Pidgeloosh.
Story, right. Really.
Yeah.
Great story.
And Sicilians, yeah.
Well, she did not tell your dad that.
I have told my dad a couple times. I've been like, hey, my mom had a weird dream about you.
And your dad's response was like,
okay.
Crazy.
Everything that my dad is, okay.
When you refer, you say, when you talk to your dad, you say my mom, or do you say mom?
I say my mom.
Mom had a, interesting.
My mom, my dad.
It's a weird, that's an interesting switch.
Yeah. I don't know it to be another way, though.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Where it's always like my mom, my dad, and I, even to the point where I go, my sister, you know, they share a kid. They share a kid, and I go, oh, you know my sister. She's crazy.
Jeez, yeah. No,
we're very...
Do you have premonition type dreams?
I feel like I have had some every once in a while, but often I get my sleep schedule and my sleep is so poor that like if I wake up in the middle of the night, it's like either like in a panic or like to like go into bed from the couch where I'm like sleeping on like a 90 degree angle. Like I don't sleep well enough to like have good thoughtful dreams.
Yes. I don't really dream.
Man. I've been having dreams lately. I had a funny dream last night.
Really?
I woke up and I wrote it down.
Really?
Yeah.
That's cool.
It was like I was laughing in my dream and I woke up and I was like, I should write that down. I won't remember it. And then I looked at it this morning and I was like, that's not funny at all, dude. That's not good. It was about, you know, the Wheel of Fortune or Vanna White.
Yeah.
Vanna White was about she didn't know what to do because...
Why do your dreams have such dated references?
Yeah. Yeah.
Jeopardy,
you know the show Family Matters?
Yeah, yeah. It was all about Vanna White not being able to know what to do because she never reads the full script of the episode as if it's a scripted show. And I was like, that's hilarious, dude. She doesn't, all she does is point.
Damn, that dream is about as funny as Wheel of Fortune.
Ugh. Dude, I wrote it down. I woke up and I go, there's something here. And then I looked at it this morning. I go, I don't even understand what this is. It was bad.
It's like when you try a stand-up bit and then you're like, and it bombs. You're like, more of a sketch anyway.
Maybe. Yeah. Oh, dude, that's so funny. That is so true. Maybe the joke, though, is like that's how Vanna White types one letter at a time. It takes forever to Vanna White to like write something because she's got to go.
Oh, that's good. That's fun.
That would have been fun when Wheel of Fortune first came out.
Yeah, that would have been good. Now it's hard to do a show or a joke about a show where people don't watch shows.
Maybe like a Def Jam comic doing it.
Oh, that's okay.
Bitch, write one letter at a time.
Anywho,
ding.
So my dreams.
Tell us.
I don't really. My dreams are all pretty much like yours. Like they're like very like lucid,
right?
And it's like half like did I dream that I got up and got a water? No, you just fucking did that.
Yeah.
Natalie's dreams are fucking intense. Yeah. She remembers them all,
really?
And like she will legit wake up like, oh my god! And I'm like, holy shit! What the fuck happened? She's like, it's a crazy dream. I was falling off something. I'm like, all right, cool.
I think it's also like a female thing. I think females have more intense dreams. I feel like
my brother-in-law wouldn't watch a Will Ferrell movie for like 5 years because he had a dream that my sister was cheating on him with Will Ferrell.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
He like hated Will Ferrell for a while.
Wow.
That's crazy.
That can happen. When you dream about someone something.
Sometimes
you can
it gets lodged into your
psyche. Love
them,
hate them. Yeah. Have you ever had a dream that you killed someone?
Do you know what I'm gonna say,
dude? Have you,
Tom?
So funny. This is so funny, dude.
Yes,
you have,
dude.
I want to hear it.
He told. Oh my god!
Tell him. You could tell him part of it if you want.
So he tells me this dream he had, and he said, "I
that
killed."
That is crazy that you said that. By the way,
that I killed this guy. And it is like this guy that I know, and he's just like a really like nice older man, like semi related to like some of like Colin's like Colin's sister, and it's like, in what world would you have to murder this sweet nice man?
Yeah,
like you couldn't have been the good guy in that dream.
No, and I was not. I told my younger sister this so. My youngest sister is technically my half sister, but like growing up, like I was so young that her family, her side of the family, her dad's side, I was just around, you know what I mean? Like was very blended. And then even later on, like
Great
I
Adam
was
Sandler
still,
movie.
Yes. Thank you. I still like talk to some of them and like, you know, come see me perform and stuff. And her uncle Tom is literally one of the nicest, funniest, like, just if you could put Pittsburgh in a bottle,
yeah,
and sell it, That would be what it is.
And like a good mood guy.
He's always in a good mood. He's always got like a beer in his hand. He's always like, you know, he works at this Pittsburgh like landmark and gives tours. Like he's
yeah.
wonderful. And I had such a vivid dream that I killed him. and then I was worried in my dream that people were onto it. And then the twist is that I found out he wasn't dead and I was trying to kill him because I didn't want him to tell.
Ends.
Yeah, I didn't want like loose ends. I didn't want people finding out that I tried to kill him. And I remember like telling Ray and telling my youngest sister, and they were both like, what? Like, what's up? And like, I have a great relationship with this guy. Like, I really like this guy. He's very nice. And but I had such a detail, like to where I remember like coming in the dream, I was in like a house and like I saw the news and they were like, they think they found a body. And I was like, oh, that's weird. And then I was like, he had a heart attack. Like, I remember telling people stuff like that, like in the dream. It was so real.
Do you remember how you did it?
I think I like hit him in the head or something. Because I remember,
hey, Colin, you want a beer?
You know how like in a dream you go like, I know I'm dreaming, but like I can't get out of it sometimes.
Yeah, yeah. So where, I'll just like, kill one of the nicest guys I know.
Like where I killed him and like he like broke into pieces. You know what I mean?
Wow,
like it was like if I hit like hardened clay or something, like I punched him or I hit him in the head and like his face like broke. But then he wasn't dead. He didn't die, and I was trying to kill him.
Oh, wow.
So you had a chance to redeem yourself even after
dream,
you fake
yeah.
killed him, and you did
right,
not.
Yeah.
You were
yeah.
like, I got to cover this up. Damn. No, I asked because I've had those dreams too, like once or twice, and they mess you up. You wake up in the morning, and it takes like an hour, and I was like.
Oh, to come down, yeah.
Is this real? No, it's not. It's just
I've had
dream.
Dreams of like missing shows, missing flights. Oh, yeah. Like not knowing what day it is. And then I'm like, and I'll like double check my phone, the calendar, the computer. I'm like, I just have to confirm that today is today.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
like I feel like it's an inception thing almost.
I still have the dream that I am not going to graduate college.
Oh, wow.
I still have that all the time. And then I wake up and I'm like, hey, you didn't even need that anyways.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. It would have been better if you didn't.
Yeah. I would have saved. Save the government some money.
Right.
You know?
Dude, I still have the dream about when you take the bar, they make you wait like 3 months before you find out if you passed. And during those 3 months, I had the dream like 4 or 5 times that I failed. And then I've had that dream as recently as like a year and a half ago. I've been a lawyer for 8 years now. And I've had that dream where they send me a letter. They're like, we made a mistake. You actually failed. You're not a lawyer. And I'm like, it's just stress.
That anxiety has no limits. It just fucking attacks you in your dreams and shit.
Yeah. Do you feel like, I feel like being a lawyer, like the fact that I know that you're a lawyer because we're friends.
Yeah.
But like, if I didn't know you, I would never guess you're a lawyer. And it's kind of like, it's sort of like an unspoken thing that you get to carry. You know what I mean? That you can like, well, I'm a lawyer.
Yeah.
Like you could throw that, like somebody that's like, well, I go deep sea fishing. Mm. And they'll be like, oh, yeah, I would have never expected you. And then you go, there's a picture of me in a 400-pound wahoo. And it's like, oh, wow, now I can believe it. Like, do you ever feel like as a lawyer, it's like people don't know I'm a lawyer? Or do I have to work this into conversation to let them know I'm a lawyer?
Oh, to show off like your status.
Yeah, only on dates I bring it up. Mm. But, you know, no, it is a nice thing. I wish it was more like I've heard Navy SEALs talk about this where they say that they can always tell like another Navy SEAL. There's just something about the way that they carry each other.
I think they carry each other like two men that have killed, that have taken a life.
Yeah.
Like I heard dream murders.
Yeah. And not someone that's like, hey, I can help
real
you.
Murders.
I can help you with the contract law.
Yeah, no.
Dylan's like at a party, he's like, I think that guy knows the ins and outs of a contract. There's Navy SEALs that have like shot through cement with thermal vision. And they're like, he wants to be on the same level as them.
Yeah. I just roll in. I'm like, do you know the rule of perpetuities? And they're like, no. I'm like, well, we don't need to keep talking. Well,
yeah.
But is that true? Do you find ways to slip in that status?
Not really. Sometimes, you know, when I'm trying to feeling down about myself, I want to show off a little bit. But it's not that, you know, impressive.
I used to compare it to like when you would do it, like, or I would compare that to when you would do a comedy show and people want to leave the area of the comedy show, and you're like, hey, man, I'm something here.
This is where my heat is. This radius. Dude. Yeah.
That's what they say. If you're hitting on a girl after a show, you gotta make sure you stay at the club. Absolutely. Stay at the bar, because as soon as you leave, you're just another guy.
Yeah, you go to Bar Louie and you're just a fucking five at Bar Louie.
Yeah.
And
sometimes you go to an after hours club.
Yeah.
And you're a nobody. You're so much that you go to the bathroom. When you come back, it's like you weren't even there before you went to the bathroom.
Yeah. Other hypotheticals like that as well. Those are all hypotheticals. Yeah.
Like other things that have never happened.
All of a sudden, the girl's making out with a shirtless friend.
The best part about that night was that Ray got up on a like DJ booth and was pretending to DJ, and people, I think, thought he was DJing. Because he was like,
people were requesting songs.
Yeah. And he was like doing like, he's like,
I was going like this. I was like, they were like, hey, can you play this song by Usher? And I was like, yeah, we got a pretty deep cue right now. So I'll try to get something on, but we might be able to fit your tune.
And there was nothing.
That's just classic comedy right there. Yeah, I love that.
Pure comedy. Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. I mean, back to like, what were you talking about? Like working things in. You know, like the whole radius thing too. Like I have a problem where if I do a show and I go somewhere after the people weren't at the show, I almost want to like if I do a show in New York or a spot in New York and I go to another show to hang out, I feel the need to be like, I just came from a show.
People do that. I was just
at a show. I know people do that, but they should be in jail. But like, I'm talking about like normal people, like where you, because now, as you know, like there are no rules in society 100%. Of like tact and like how to, you know, social skills. I'm still trying to operate on like the idea of like, I can't show up to this thing and just announce that I just come from New York Comedy Club, 4th Street, you know, like...
Attention!
Right.
My name is Colin, and I am a comedian.
Right.
And I mean, some people
some people do that.
Because it's your equalizer.
Yeah, of course. You just want to feel equal to the best person.
That's
there.
Getting back to the high horse.
The high horse.
People like to be on the high horse.
Of course.
Yeah.
People like to feel better than, if not equal to or better than, the best person in the room. You know?
Yeah. So, to answer your question, I do wish that lawyers had that vibe that Navy SEALs had.
Like a killing instinct.
Where someone could come up to me in an airport. This is what I saw. This Navy SEAL just walked up to a guy. And he was like, I know he's a SEAL. And he goes, what unit are you in? And he tells him, and they are instantly friends.
Was he in fatigues, though?
Yeah, just regular clothes.
Oh.
Just right. It's something about the way they carry themselves. I think lawyers, it's less, you know, I bet you could see it with doctors, I bet. Doctors probably have that, like a surgeon, you know? Surgeons can spot other surgeons.
In your eyes, like when you see life end.
Dude, have you ever talked to, like, a surgeon? You know, when they talk about God complexes with surgeons? Dude, it's a real thing. I remember I went to school with a guy, didn't see him for a long time, and then I saw him at a wedding, and I remember he had a couple drinks in him. I had a couple drinks. We're talking. Dude, it took him like 3 drinks before he was like, yeah, you know when you have human life in your hands? And I was like, hey, good to see you, pal.
And let me just say this about doctors. Like, sorry.
Where are you going with this?
Well, just like... To me, like, the best doctor and the worst doctor are the same. To me.
It's like Italian food.
Because I'm not a doctor. So I don't care what you have to say about being a doctor. I think it's boring. I don't find it interesting. But also, you don't have to say anything because I'm not a doctor.
Oh, as far as interacting with them.
Right.
Yeah. Okay.
So just the fact that you are a doctor, I'll go, great. Whatever you say, great. Mm-hmm. You don't even have to tell me. You got my thumbs up. Because the worst doctor in the world is still a better doctor than me. And I don't really feel the need to hear about your life. I just know that I thumbs up. Like, if I need a doctor, I'll come to you immediately. You know, while we're at this event, I'll come. Yeah. I'll find you.
Actually, you know what? I'll give you a little clue that I need you. I'll start clutching my fucking chest.
Right. Like, if I'm not having a heart attack, I'll be doing a lot of this. You know, and I'll be coughing. Yeah,
dude. I think about that all the time. I do have this fantasy of why I wish I went to law med school instead. I never would have been able to, but I wish I was a doctor just for the moment when you're on an airplane and someone goes, is there a doctor here? And you could stand up and save someone's life.
You could do that even if you're not one.
Yeah, you could just say, yeah, I'm a doctor.
Yeah, because I don't think they check your credentials in that moment.
Yeah.
But it's also,
they're not like, what's this thing called inside here? And you're like,
they don't give you a test.
Yeah.
I love the idea of someone standing up and they're like, yes, Robert Brown, PhD in philosophy. I am a doctor.
I don't think if I was a doctor and somebody was sick on the plane, I don't think I would get up simply for the pressure of like, ugh, like if I get this wrong, because everybody has a bad day at work.
Yeah.
Like if I like you're already on vacation mode or whatever, you're going somewhere, you're coming home from somewhere.
Had
you're
some
tired.
Cocktails, maybe right. Some plain drinks.
Now I have to get up and like perform life-saving measures on this person. If they, God forbid, pass, who are they going to point the finger to? Me. If nobody says anything, then we're all just, hey, you know, what are you going to do? That's life.
Well, they look at that manifest, and then you lose your license. You got to take that Hippocratic oath.
I don't think that's what they do. They don't look at the manifest, do they?
Oh, yeah, they would.
I would be like
I was sleeping.
I would be like, let's, and then I
had a loud movie on.
Some guy's next to you, he's like, no, I saw him look, and he said,
I was
honey, we're going to Hawaii.
He's wearing a stethoscope.
And nothing's going to stop this.
I was watching Interstellar. I had an Interstellar on with noise-canceling headphones. I had no idea. Like, sir, we don't have any TVs on this plane. It was a 45-minute flight.
This is Spirit Airlines. Yeah. Do you think we have TVs?
We don't even have seats. Yeah, right.
Just strapped to the
hull. I didn't know
that
you had to do it if you are a doctor.
I think so,
That sucks.
But here's what I'll say.
You're just on
call
your whole life.
The fact that you're a lawyer, and I am not, is that I believe you that if you say that you do have to do it.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
That's my point, though, is that I will always just go with whatever the most confident and smartest, or what I believe to be the smartest person, whatever they say.
Honestly,
go ahead.
Even if I just...
You got my vote.
Even if I just like what somebody says, I'll believe it. Yeah. It doesn't matter what their credentials are.
Oh, I'll believe anything that makes me feel good.
Do you know what I've been saying?
Anything that makes me feel better, I'll believe wholeheartedly.
I've said things in like heated conversations or like conversations about like politics or like economics, and I know nothing. Like there was one line I've been spitting out. I've been like, you know Warren Buffett? He doesn't even pay taxes. I've said that so many times in conversations because I think I heard somebody say it like 10 years ago.
Mm. Yeah.
No idea if it's true.
I don't think it is.
It is true.
Is it true?
Well, it's kind of.
So
these billionaires don't pay taxes. We've talked about this, but they don't pay taxes because it's unrealized income. Because it's all in their portfolios. Yeah, they're a billionaire if they sold all their stocks, if they sold all their assets. That's
so
how
I've
they're
been
worth
nailing it.
This much money. Yeah, dude, you're really smart.
Is that what they say, liquid asset?
Liquid asset, I think, is just what you have.
If you have like a swimming pool
in your,
or something.
Yeah.
Like an extensive bar collection. Like,
yeah. That's when you can, you know, you put Jello in a swimming pool, rich people, and you can swim in that.
That's
a liquid
asset.
Yeah,
that's a liquid asset.
I'm glad I learned what that is.
So like Logan Paul, Prime Energy Drink, he's got a lot of liquid assets.
Right.
That's all that means.
Yeah. I have like three liquid assets at my house.
I have one right here. That's it.
I have almond milk.
I got about six cans of Diet Dr. Pepper in the fridge. Right. Those are my liquid assets.
Yeah.
You were talking about talking to a doctor, like just like that you would be bored regardless.
Yeah.
And this is what I was thinking about. I was at a wedding a couple of years ago.
Yeah.
And it was a wedding where, like, I was the date and didn't know anybody there.
That's tough.
And I got, like, pushed in, like, hey, hang out with the other guys. You know, I don't know if you've ever been in that situation. And, like, I'm not, like, everyone's cup of tea.
No,
as far
dude.
As, and most people
Come
aren't
on.
Mine. So, like, I'm, like, I can fit in, though. I can fit into and navigate. Right. I'm good at that. But, like, every once in a while, like, I'll fire off, like, something that's, like, a joke. That
and
they
you get those looks.
And they're like, oh, this we just turned it up to 100. And I just would never forget these fucking three guys were having a conversation about their lawns. And I was like, dude, can we do some fucking shots or something?
Dude, do you know what? I don't want to cut off the end of the story.
No, go ahead.
But there is my brother, my younger brother, has the perfect foolproof plan to find the people that you connect with at a wedding. When you go to a wedding,
interesting.
When you go to a wedding and you don't know anybody there, he said he's done it like 3 or 4 times and it works every time. You're in a circle like that, talking about something lame, you know, something like, I'm not interested in this. You drop a casual, that's gay.
Wow.
And then whoever laughs in the circle is who you're going to hang out with for the rest of the night.
That is a
terrible idea.
Dude.
That's rolling the dice, dude.
Dude, he goes, I've done it like 2 or 3 times, mm-hmm. and every time, like, one dude in the circle will be like, nice.
So you just hang out with that dude?
And then that's
your
person.
And you just have one person?
Yeah.
Do you know who that dude
is? How many people do you need at a wedding?
Yeah, but
it's fun night.
That dude also sounds like the younger version of the dude at the bar that you met at Rocky's that called the people in the commercial.
As much as I'd like to continue down this path where at least my career could be affected, I don't know, like with this topic, I have a good story about a wedding that I went to and like had trouble fitting in.
Okay.
I think I might have told you this.
I don't know.
So I was recently, within the past 6 months, a guest of a bridesmaid at a wedding. And, you know, you have a lot of alone time when you are the date of a person in the wedding. You are left to your own devices, which I don't mind. Like, I walked around this. We were in Baltimore, so I walked around Baltimore, you know, not long. But I then drove out of Baltimore and you know, enjoyed myself
at
a strip mall.
There's also some mystery to that role. To be just like the date of somebody that's in the
right,
wedding.
Right, yeah.
You're kind of rogue.
Yeah, you're a rogue agent. You're a rogue nation. You're a Mission Impossible rogue nation. So I show up at the wedding. Luckily, my girlfriend's parents were there. So I can latch onto them and be like, well, at least I'm not a completely flying solo, because she's coming in. She'll be like, oh, hi, how are you? And then she has to go back and take a picture.
Yeah.
So we're like, the ceremony is over. The ceremony and reception are in the same place. So we do the ceremony. We all clear out into like another area of this venue, and it's an open bar, and then we come back and sit down for dinner. So I, you know, go over, and my girlfriend comes over, and I'm with her parents. I'm wearing a suit, specifically a black suit, black tie, white shirt. Literally the
you
most
are a rogue agent.
The most traditional suit that you can wear. You know what I mean? Like if you're trying to find like what is the most non-intruding, offensive, like the least amount of attention I can attract with a suit. Black suit, white shirt, black tie. That's it. It's there's no flash.
You did the opposite of a woman wearing a white dress to a wedding.
Right.
You know what I mean? You did the nice thing.
I tried to blend, blend, right? Like go unnoticed. I'm talking to my girlfriend and I had a couple drinks because I feel like that's the goal at a wedding is to like consume as much as you can as quickly as possible.
Yeah.
And one of the other, let me just say this. Somebody else came up to me and when I was with my girlfriend and she goes, oh, black suit, you're dressed for a funeral. And I was like, oh, okay. You know, I don't really know this person, but she knows like my girlfriend.
Yeah.
And like, thankfully my girlfriend's mom was like, oh, I think he looks so handsome. You know, and even my girlfriend's like, oh no, he looks nice. And I let it go. But here's the problem is that I give you like one out, you know what I mean?
Sure.
And then she goes, seriously, like you should like it's so morbid. Like, look at you. You're dressed for a funeral. Like this is supposed to be a happy occasion. I was like, what? I had committed at this point to not let it. I was like, well, you had your chance. You had your chance to walk away. You had your chance to make one comment about my suit and walk away, and you've just lost it. Okay. And we still have about 6 hours this evening to be together. So I am all in now on setting like this record straight of this is like a fine suit. I go, this is like the most traditional suit you could wear. Like this is a black suit.
Black tie.
Right. It's a black tie event. And she's like, oh, you just usually only see those at funerals. And I go, you would be very good at a funeral because your energy stinks. I was like you're kind of killing the mood, much like at a funeral, like where like people have died. I go, and I said, like, you're like a human like muscle relaxer. You're like a human Valium, where like you just bring the energy way down.
Good Lord.
And I'm saying it like,
was she drunk?
She was a little drunk.
Okay.
But I'm saying it like, With a half tongue in cheek, and sure. She's responding half tongue in cheek, and like we're kind of going back and forth, and like she eventually goes away. My girlfriend's like, "Okay, that was a lot. Like you have to relax." And I go, "I'm sorry, but like she did start it. Like I'm just standing 100%. Here. Like yeah. I'm standing here. I'm not. I don't know anybody really at this wedding. She's attacking me. Okay, we go and sit down." She's at our table because she's also part of the wedding party. So I am now sitting, and she is paired up with one of the groom's friends, I guess. I don't know, because it was one of the bride's friends.
Sure.
So she's trying to get what do they call them when they walk down the aisle together? You know what I mean? Her partner, right? Partner. They weren't together, but like the person she, you know, is paired with in the bridal party. And she's trying to get him on her side.
Oh.
And she's like not letting it go.
She won't let it go.
So now I am like, I'm in a corner. It's 2-on-1. So I am like making fun of both of them. I'm like, come on, dude. I was like, don't start. I'm making fun of his shirt. I was like, you're dressed in like that's a blouse. I was like, you look like a pirate. I was like, you're wearing a blouse. It's not a big deal, but you're wearing a blouse to a wedding. I was like, if you want my like morbid black suit coat to cover up your blouse, like I'll give it to you. And then like I start going after her. And then like they do the speeches. And my girlfriend's like, you have to stop, right? And then like as the speeches, I'm like whispering to my girlfriend, I'm like, I'm not gonna stop if she doesn't stop. And like she'll be like, she's not gonna say anything else. The speech is in. She starts back up again. So now I'm going at it. And like we see each other on the dance floor. She'll be like, there you are in that black suit. I'm like, there you are with your, you know, terrible attitude. I was like, for a first time meeting, I was like, you know, first time meeting you, you made a great impression. By the end of the night, I am like 2 sheets to the wind, if not 3, maybe 4. And I am not holding back on my opinions of this girl as we're leaving. And my girlfriend is like, you have to be quiet. And like, we're with a couple of her friends that she knew.
Oh my God.
And they're like, who's he mad about? And they're like, oh, she's mad about so-and-so. And I'm like, you mean her? She's an idiot. I was like, and like, she wasn't around, but I was yelling about this person. I was like, I hope she doesn't show up to the party after this. Like, I really do hope I don't have to see her anymore. God, she's awful.
You like, keep reiterating how much you paid for the suit.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah, yeah.
$700 suit.
Right. I was so upset. But that, and there again, is the essence, you mm-hmm. know, of what I yeah. live for, I, you know?
You know what you could have done? Mm. You could have pulled a That's Gay and known that you didn't want to hang out with her. Immediately.
Yeah. I mean, I didn't.
I don't like how you guys tightened up when I told that story.
I just,
I'm gonna
think
say,
it's, no,
I'm gonna say, I, you both tightened up.
It's not, no, it's not gonna be my thing.
It doesn't offend me, but it's, just, it's not a move I would ever use.
It's not a move I'm gonna use because I'm too petty. Mm. I'm too petty. Like, I don't let things go. I really don't. Like, I almost sometimes hope for there to be a problem. And where I have to like hold a grudge, you know,
yeah, I really I like that.
I do. I hold grudges. I'm very petty.
Oh, I know.
I will not, especially if you try. Here's what I don't like. I don't like when people think they're funny and they're not funny.
Well, that is the worst. But I do not think you were wrong at any level of that.
I was not wrong.
Because
I hold because, to that no, to this day. I was not wrong.
Because it should be clear to her that she's like, and also like making fun of somebody's outfit at a wedding. I know that like when I'm going to a wedding, I'm like, oh, I want to look really nice.
Yeah.
And right. like I'm putting effort into how I look. Like if the this is kind of a men and women thing too. If the shoe was on the other foot,
could you imagine?
Oh,
could
my
you imagine?
God.
Could you imagine if I said, "Wow, you look really like yeah.
oh,
terrible."
You,
like,
you were yeah. That's kind of close to the bride.
Yeah,
don't you
right.
Think?
Yeah, don't you think yeah. that's a little too dressed down?
Or you know? like yeah. even if a girl was wearing like a yellow dress and you were like, "Hey, what's up, sunshine?"
Yeah,
and she'd be like,
"You look like the sun." She was wearing a green dress. I should have like
you
look
like
a
the grass
like a fern. yeah. You look like a big fern. Oh, that needs to be cut down
like
in someone's yard. Yeah. You look like a shrub.
You look like a shrub.
Right, a big shrub.
Definitely a double standard.
Those ankle trunks,
there's
dude.
There's a double standard for sure.
And it's like, one, like, it would have been fine if she was just like, ah, black on white. You look like you're at a funeral. And then you're like, oh, okay. And then she's like, I'm just kidding. You know, you look
yeah,
nice.
You look nice. Right. Like you got about a 15, no, that's too long, maybe a 10-second window to retract the statement sure. and go like, hey, I was just trying to, you know, goof around. I don't know you that well. Sorry. Because I've been in that situation.
You know what this was?
You know?
This was her. You're the new person at the wedding.
Yeah.
She's in the bridal party. She's, you know, fucking king queen, you know, mm-hmm. hanging out, and she throws that out because she's trying to put you down.
Yeah.
And you push back.
She's trying to get a little bit of feel a little
you
something.
You pushed back, and she did not like that. That's why she didn't let it go.
Well, and if you have any social awareness as a person, you can usually tell when something you said has went awry with the other person.
Right.
And you being a little buzzed up, me knowing you, mm-hmm. I know that most normal people that have some type of like ability to read social cues would have seen that, like, hey, the funeral thing he didn't love.
Do you remember the race?
The race?
The race down.
When I raced Kane.
Yeah. Talk about a situation where little buzzed up and knowing how I'll react to things.
Yeah.
And not letting things go. Can we share that? Or
yeah, we
should
share that story. That's a fine story. Okay.
And then we're almost at an hour. So this will be.
Do you want me to tell it or you want to tell it?
We could
Mad Libs it.
We can Mad Libs it. So
I love a little together story. Yeah.
So I am out of shape.
No.
And
Aren't we all?
I am more athletic than you would think I am.
I agree.
And we were partying a lot with our friend Mike, a comic, and his wife and like their friends, and we were like hanging out with him a lot over like the summer before we came to New York, mm-hmm. and. We're like drinking a lot, and their one friend was like a marathon runner,
mm-hmm.
and like she was like very fit, right? Mm-hmm. And I would always like I would say like, well, I'll smoke you in a race though. Mm-hmm. I was like, I'll beat you in a race. And then like our buddy Mike was hyping me up, you were hyping me up. So finally, it all like happens. It's a night, and we're like I'm drinking, I'm a little buzzed up, and I'm like, fuck it, let's race, let's do it, you know. So we go out onto Mount Washington, which is in like Pittsburgh. It's like the top of Pittsburgh where you get that great view. And we're going to have a race. And it turns into like this battle of the sexes thing,
mm-hmm.
where it's me versus her. And
I think it was supposed to be like somewhat playful,
yeah.
you know, like, oh, this is silly, you know, like, you know, almost not flirtatious, but like the energy of like, this is just, it was flirtatious, mm-hmm. you know, it was more for Ray and her.
Yeah.
And not for the onlookers.
Okay.
But I did not agree to that. I didn't just stay as an onlooker.
Mm-hmm. You and Mike.
Right, yeah.
So it was like all the girls that were up there were rooting for her, and all the dudes that were up there, which was just Mike and Colin, were like aggressively rooting for
her. How many other girls are there?
I think there was like four other girls, okay. three other girls, yeah.
And like I'm getting like then I'm like starting to get like nervous. I was like, oh, fuck, she might burn me, and I'm like out of shape. I'm a little buzzed up, mm-hmm. and then
it was like a dash, you know what I mean? Yeah. Where they go race from here to here,
yeah, quick,
went. Yeah.
And Travers is like, he's like, you gotta beat her now. You gotta beat her. I've right. talked too much shit. I'm like, what? Why are you talking shit? I didn't talk enough shit. And then we race, and I. Smoker, I win, of course, and then Colin is not a.
I'm a sore
graceful
loser, but
winner.
I'm an even worse.
Oh,
winner.
That's the worst, mm-hmm. dude.
Yeah,
that is the worst.
In your face,
to where?
In your face. Who do you think you are?
To like now, let's compare the two people here. Like Ray, the story he tells at the beginning of how he's like, I stayed out too late. I was trying to help you. I'm here supporting you, but I was wrong.
Yeah.
This girl's not interested in you. What I, in that moment, as a guy, I should go, oh, you know what? I'm going to even, maybe I tell Ray to throw the race. I go, don't win. Let her beat you. It'll be cute. Better odds, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
maybe
yeah.
she, maybe you beat
maybe
her.
Maybe she does like you.
Maybe she likes you and you let her, or maybe you win, but it's close and you're like, you would have, you know, like, hey, you throw a line out like, well, maybe we should start training together. I don't know. It's been a long time.
I'm just workshopping.
Right. I'm just spitball. Instead of like even remotely trying to salvage the situation for Ray and this girl, I just went full like, well, Ray's my friend, and Ray won, where I did consider Ray the single man potentially pursuing a woman. I just said, it's just Ray. And I was so obnoxious and yelled, like was yelling in this person's face
about
you're slow, he won, you thought you were gonna beat him, oh, you're a loser, you know what I mean? Like,
you lost to him! Right, yeah. Look at him!
Right.
He's hyping me up and insulting me at the same time.
Like, how do you live with yourself? I didn't even wake up in the morning! Not with Ray!
He has three slices of pizza before this race!
He hasn't drank water since high school!
Right, just laying, to where like the night was kind of ruined.
Oh.
Like, we all just kind of went back, and, like, that was it. Like the girls were awkward because, you know, the girls, like, that were hanging out were, like, they did not want to really talk to us, of course, after, especially her.
Was she upset?
I don't think she was thrilled about, what we were saying.
Because Mike was also, you were being hype, but Mike was also like, I told you.
You're right. Yeah.
And I wasn't even saying shit. I was just like, oh, all right. Oh.
Right.
I feel bad.
I love that.
This escalated quickly.
But that's what I think. I think that's sort of our defining things of like, I go for blood. I feel like where I don't. And, you know, Ray is trying to help the situation.
Yeah.
And I'm just trying to help myself, you know, myself and those immediately around me.
That makes sense.
Glad you're finally admitting that.
Yeah,
that makes sense.
Yeah.
I just have one more quick thing to add about when you get along with nobody at a wedding.
Mm-hmm.
Did I ever tell either of you the story about the best man speech, that the best man speech of all time?
Yeah. Didn't he cry?
This is how I knew that I wasn't going to get along with many people at this wedding.
Mm-hmm.
Is I was brought as a date again.
Yeah.
I knew the girl getting married from college a little bit, and I'm sitting at this table, and it's all like young people, and I'm like, oh, maybe I'll get along with these people. Maybe we'll be goofing around. So there's two best man speeches. First best man is like the gay brother, and he nails it. It's cute. It's quick. It's not too sentimental. You know, really defines a relationship. Applause. Fantastic. Then his boy goes up. Dude has like a mullet, you know, he's like a little dude. And some of the lines that he is throwing out are like, you know, life gave Dave, you know, dealt him a great hand. Life gave me a shit sandwich, but he was still friends with me, you know. And when I was thinking of ending it all, who did I call, Dave? Who picked up their phone, man?
Dude.
And then he said something like, he's bringing up like other like people that passed away. He's like, if he was here today, you know, he'd be proud of you. He'd be proud of me for everything that I went through. And he is just like fully committing. I feel like I am in like a deleted scene of the movie Wedding Crashers.
Right.
It almost feels they literally have that bit.
Yeah.
And I am sitting there fucking dying. Mm-hmm. Like, I got, like, my napkin over my face. I'm laughing. I'm, like, hitting the guys next to me and stuff. I'm like, this guy's losing. And then they are all just stone-faced. Some of them look like, some of the, like, girls at the table are like, pouring his heart out. Like,
right.
And I'm like, this is the funniest thing ever. Then I finally calm down from that. I start to make a couple of friends. End of the wedding. It's like the last song. He grabs the microphone from the DJ because they put on Telephone Line by
ELO.
ELO. Yeah. It's like, do it. And he is singing it. Is he a good singer?
No.
Terrible singer.
Never.
We would have bet against him at Live Bank.
Oh, yeah, dude.
And he fucking is singing this. And then there I go, just laughing again. And everybody like finally just like confirmed what they knew at the beginning. They were like, wait, this isn't our guy.
Well, I don't know how much time we have left, but
we're about 10 minutes over.
Oh, okay.
But yeah, what do you got?
Well,
got
just sort of a hot take on weddings and wedding speeches is that most wedding speeches are terrible and hack.
Yeah.
Like I am it's so predictable now where you get up and there's almost always, because the people getting married around us, I would say, are all in the same age range where, like, they're quoting Stepbrothers or The Hangover. You know what I mean?
No.
And it's like, I was a wolf. I was a lone wolf. And then I found my pack. You're like, oh, vague. You know, I don't even know. But, like, you can almost bank on it. There's going to be that. There's going to be the thing about, like, I'm going to insult the guy because he doesn't know how to do something and the girl knows how to do it better. You know what I mean? Like, oh, boy, were Jim and Maureen happy when Bryce got married, you know, like, and it's I think they're they're such a terrible idea to let people. I think what most weddings should do now is, I'll keep this brief. I went to a wedding once where they treated it like an open mic, where they literally had and it was the worst.
I hate
it
that.
It was terrible.
You get three speeches, yeah, maybe two.
They had like the father of the bride go up and read something that he wrote, and then he played a song that he had written for his daughter when she was younger, and then the mother and father of the groom go up, and then it was literally like a bridesmaid, the best man, another bridesmaid because she also felt like she had something to say, to the point where people were kind of getting up and being like, I don't really have anything prepared, but, and I was like, are you riffing? Are you riffing a wedding
Dude,
speech,
you should
a
have
toast?
You should have gotten up there and be like, I know I'm just a guest at this wedding.
I think a perfect, and I would like to start this.
Wait, I would love you going up there like, hey, I got like five to work out. I'm trying to get a tape.
Right, yeah, I just shoot a tape for a festival. Yeah, what I'll pitch and propose to people is that like, if you are not, and most people are not clever, you know, when it comes to writing speeches, they don't speak a lot at work, maybe. If you're not somebody that feels confident to give a wedding speech, or worse, you feel very confident to give a wedding speech, do not. I will write your wedding speech for you. If you give me a good
service.
If you give me 1 week in a page of details about the couple and the information, I could write you a 3-minute wedding speech
that will be
better than any wedding speech the people at that wedding that know that person, you know, better than I do could give. Mm-hmm. I guarantee it. Yeah. Because people are terrible at speaking.
Yeah.
They're really bad. They lose the audience. I love this at weddings.
Diane,
where they're too close, where it's the father, right? Yeah, and it's like, I remember when my little girl said she wanted to always want to be married, and I always said, and it's like, what is wrong with you? Someone push the mic up.
They'll always shout out like their random buddy. They're like, my buddy Jack remembers when she was 14 and she wanted that bike. Who got it?
The lack of mic control and mic work at these weddings are insane.
I wrote a speech for a best man in like 15 minutes at a wedding.
God. Yeah.
I've done.
Yeah.
Did he not have a speech?
He didn't have a speech prepared. So I was like, let me write that up for you real quick.
That is so nerve-wracking.
It was his brother.
That is so
nerve-wracking. I also don't like reading off the paper. It's like it's like you need a piece of paper, like, and then like the hands are shaking, and it's like, don't do that. Just sit down.
To be honest with you, if you're not like, and if you're not like a funny person, or like you're not good with words, really, all you have to do is go up there and like have like a couple sentences prepared, and just literally. It can be sentimental.
Go lean into the sentimental.
Yeah, not everybody has to be fucking Don Rickles up
right,
there.
Right, yeah. Because then you get the weird roast thing that like half the crowd laughs at and half the crowd doesn't get, you know.
Yeah.
I'm saying crowd.
Talking about the bride. She's shocked she's wearing white today, her history.
If I ever get married, I won't even allow, I'll do my own.
No speeches.
I'll just do a special. My wedding used to be doing 45 minutes.
There's a comic who did a I don't know how old, but she's like has no intention of getting married, and she's gone to so many weddings that she was just like headlined a show and was like, this is my wedding. Like everybody come to this. This is the only I've gone to 50 weddings. I've been 20 times. I've been the bridesmaid and all that stuff. And she fucking sold it out like 2 nights. It was crazy.
That's awesome.
That's cool.
Boston girl.
Nice.
You know.
We did it, boys.
We made some trouble.
Yeah.
We did make some trouble.
10 minutes past the allotted time, so,
I've seen some of the episodes. You'll be fine.
A lot of trouble.
Colin, you want to do me a favor?
Yes.
You want to tell everybody where they can find you?
Yes, you can find me on Instagram at Colin_comedy. Same for TikTok. And I guess it's the same with YouTube now with, like, the handles. And if you are on YouTube and you're watching this, subscribe to my YouTube channel and my Instagram. Follow that because I'm putting out a dry bar special sometime in 2024. Whoa. And I have a Don't Tell set coming out sometime in the next probably couple month or two. So it'll all be posted on there. And you know, I'm very excited about both of those. So please, you know, check them out. And my website is Colin Comedy, which I don't never update, but I should. That's it.
Well, check that all out. Give Colin a follow if you haven't already. Me, I'm at Reza Wadney on all social media. This weekend, I'm going to be at Saratoga Springs Comedy Works.
Look at you, dude.
Doing some comedy there with opening for Sean Donnelly. And
is he still alive?
Yeah. And you can catch me here every single Wednesday on Troublemakers Podcast with Dylan Krasinski.
At Dylan Krasinski on Instagram, YouTube, and TikTok, and at Troublemakers on all those websites. We post clips 3, 4, 5, sometimes 6 times a week. This weekend I'll be at Barbershop on Saturday, 8 p.m. Come on out to that, and we'll see you next week, baby. Good night.